You're listening to 3 and 30 Takeaways for Moms, episode 41. How to really see your children and help them to see you. Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast for moms who want to create more meaning in motherhood. Each 30-minute episode will feature three doable takeaways for you to try at home with your family this week. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. Thank you so much for being here. Okay, everybody, she's back. We have Dr. Katie Penry with us again this week. She is the clinical psychologist that you heard in episode 23, which was How to Stop Looking at Your Phone So Much and Why It Matters. And it has been a wildly popular episode, and we are so grateful to have her back on the podcast today to continue that discussion and teach us further. So, Dr. Penry, thanks for coming back on.
Oh, this is exciting. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, there has been a huge response to your episode. It is by far the most downloaded episode I've had on my show. And I know a lot of my listeners have joined your lookup challenge that you have on your website, afriendlyaffair.com, challenging parents to look up from their phones. What has the response been to your lookup challenge since, you know, you first released it?
It's been amazing. I mean, I get these emails all the time, just parents really connecting to their older children, to their infants, saying, I was having these behavioral problems. I was at the end of my rope. I didn't know what else to do. I tried the lookup challenge. And now I'm more connected. My kid is better behaved. I never would have thought that simply being more attuned would have made this big of a difference. So I keep getting all of these awesome testimonies, and I'm kind of screenshotting them and collating them because I want more people to see that something as simple as just learning effective media use habits can make a huge difference in your family's life. So, you know, it's been really good.
I love that it's just a 7-day course. Mm-hmm. It's so accessible for parents. And that's what I love about your work. I mean, you have this mass of education, multiple degrees. And we were just talking before we went on air about how she studied with some of the top experts in maternal and infant mental health. And yet you break down all of that education into these really practical, doable things for parents. You really have a passion for making it accessible to the everyday mom. And I love that about your work. You've come out with some new e-courses in the last couple of months, mm-hmm. Which we can talk more about. Maybe we'll do that at the end of the episode so people know where they can find more of you.
Sure.
So it's just so cool to see you using everything that you've gained in your education to help the everyday mama in the trenches.
Thank you. I think that that's the best compliment I could possibly receive, is translating really obscure, dense, almost annoyingly so, research into something parents can actually use. I mean, science is hustling to get mama's awesome stuff, but the average scientist cannot speak to regular people. And so just like reading, being able to read their stuff and make it accessible, totally. So for you to say that, that's huge. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And you are a mom yourself, which I think helps a lot to you understand the everyday challenges. And you have two little ones, like 5 and 2 or 3. How old are your kids?
One is about to turn 3, one just turned 5.
So, okay.
So yeah, they're about 2 years apart.
You get it. So, okay. So now I feel like there are hundreds and thousands of parents looking up from their phones now, thanks to you. What's the next step of this work? Now that we're looking up, now what do we do?
All right, good. Yeah, that's why I'm here today. You asked me what my response has been, or what the response has been to the lookup challenge. I get a lot of compliments, and then I get a lot of what now. But these questions have been really interesting because they aren't fear-driven. Like, I do get a lot of fear-driven referrals. Obviously, parents come into my office kind of panicked and afraid. These questions that I'm getting from the people who get through to the end of the lookup challenge are kind of excited. Like, I'm connected to my kid. I'm finally feeling like I'm hitting a stride as a parent. you know, what can I do now? And so that's why I was so excited to get back in, you know, get an invite back on the show, because I really want to talk about what it means to be a responsive caregiver, you know? Mm-hmm. Last episode, we spoke really about the value of looking up, obviously. And now I want to talk about looking with, or like being available to your kid once you're attuned.
Great. And I love that you know, that now that you're looking up, it's time to look with. I love that you continue that theme of looking. Mm-hmm. So what are your takeaways for how we can have a responsive relationship with our children and we can look with them? What's your first takeaway?
All right. So my first takeaway is look at the world with your child. So try and look along their gaze. Mm-hmm. Looking along their gaze rather than just looking at them or looking into each other's eyes, you actually kind of want to step into what they're looking at. Describe it. Be there with them. Notice what they're noticing. Feel what they're feeling. One of the big parts of being a really responsive parent is making your child feel felt. And stepping into your child's gaze, stepping into their affective experience is a big part of that. So I would say two quick ways to do that. If you have young kids, read a little bit differently. Loosen yourself up. Don't worry about the narrative or the plot so much. Just look at what they're looking at. There's characters, feelings, colors. There's an artist in each picture book. Notice those things with your kids. If you don't get to the end of the story, who cares? The other one I would say is if you have older children, expand your repertoire of end-of-the-day questions. Go on scavenger hunts. Wonder together about life's mysteries, about their emotions, about your common experiences. You just want to work at pulling yourself into any moment with your kid.
Okay, so your first suggestion was to read with them in a different way, like picture books with them in a different way. Mm-hmm. Do you ask them questions about the book? Do you just follow their gaze? And then how would you read differently without just going through the words on the page? What are some strategies for that?
Okay, so my just telling you to do this is going to make a huge difference, because what you're going to do is you're just going to let the plot go. And you will begin to notice that your child points at things, gets surprised at things, asks questions. Whenever I observe other parents reading, and it's okay to have a plot-driven reading session, that's okay. But whenever I notice people who are very plot-driven in their reading, they ignore the questions of their kids. They don't hear them. But simply opening just that little valve in your brain that says, I'm gonna hear my kids on a different level while we're reading the story. I know that it seems vague, but it's really very powerful. And I know that it's actually going to make a difference. So if my kid points at something, I'll say, what's that? What are they doing? Oh my goodness, they do feel excited. I noticed that you felt excited when we turned the page. I wonder if so-and-so is feeling that way.
I love the way that you asked that. What's that? Like, you weren't saying, what's that? Like, give me the definition, child.
Oh,
you
totally.
You were saying, what's that? As if you were just as interested and surprised as they are. Like, you're asking them to help you out. Like, answer for me. What's that? And so you're entering into that experience with them.
I love that you pointed that out, Rachel. The trick to really good process-oriented reading, process-oriented art, process-oriented scavenger hunt or living is really wondering. And the trick to wondering well is really releasing some of your authority. Like, you want to wonder with your children. You don't know what is in this page. You can read the book and you can say what the author was telling you is in this page, but to your child, you don't know what they're seeing. You don't know what they're feeling. You just have to wonder with them and try and learn together.
I love that. My daughter goes to a adorable Waldorf preschool that I love and I'm obsessed with. And her teacher gave a little lesson to the parents about therapeutic storytelling.
Oh, cool.
And so cool. I want to have her on the podcast at some point. But she talked about using like, well, she talked about telling your own stories, not from a book, but just like from your mind and your heart, using like nature sounds and making them with your, you know, like the sound of the wind, woof, and the rain, pitter patter, pitter patter. And that night when I came home and I was reading Sally her book, that was a book. I wasn't making up the story. But I started to notice that there were opportunities for me to add in those sounds if I just slowed down my reading and I wasn't just like pounding through it to get through the book. So I read the words and I kind of made some nature sounds along with the words. And she just was like, so she was looking at me just like in wonder that I was doing this and we were experiencing the story together. So I thought that was a great tip from a Waldorf preschool teacher who is so great with small children.
Definitely. And you're making my point there. I can't, it's maybe even counterproductive for me to tell you exactly the way to do this. But if you just make space and start noticing, something magic can happen. You know, that's all you did is you just stopped trying to get to the end of the book and you noticed all sorts of new things.
Yeah. And one thing I've loved on your feed on Instagram, A Friendly Affair, you share a lot of like, are they search and find books or is that what you call them? Tell us a little bit about those types of books.
Oh, so this is like Where's Waldo, you know, but there are a lot of really good ones now. Whenever we were kids, it was I Spy and Where's Waldo, and that was about it. But now I've, well, Richard Scarry too. Richard Scarry is an awesome one because the characters are always doing something and there's multiple plot lines kind of happening. No words except for maybe like a brief little word here or there, explanation of what so-and-so is doing at the grocery store. And I love opening up a book that's very busy and just kind of noticing what my kid is noticing and like, oh my gosh, that is so funny. What is it? Is it Bookworm? What is the name of the little worm in which Richard Scarry?
Oh, isn't it Lowly or something?
Something. I don't know. And it's like, oh, that is. Look at where
and he just has the, he has the one shoe.
Oh yeah, there's, yes.
I love that he has the one shoe and he's like hopping along. That's what you're talking about,
right? Yeah, that's Richard Scarry. And I don't know. It's just like seek and find books are totally, there's a ton on my Instagram feed. You should get into it for sure.
Okay. So takeaway number one is to look at the world with your children. And I love that you pointed out to look along their gaze, look at what they're looking at and respond and ask questions and wonder with them.
Totally. Then, have you ever read C.S. Lewis's Meditations from a Tool Shed?
No.
Oh my goodness. It's just this quick little essay. And he's basically in this tool shed and he says, I walk into the tool shed, essentially, and I look at a ray of light and I see this kind of the specks, the dust floating in the ray. And I can look at this ray of light. I can even look at what that ray of light is shining on. Say it's an old wheelbarrow. But whenever I step into the ray of light and I look along it back up, I can actually see through the crack of the door. I can see the trees on the outside. I can see the wind blowing. He's having two different experiences of that light. You can do this with your kid. You can have an experience looking at your child, which is important and actually is a great segue to my next point. But you can also step in and look at what they're looking at. I mean, it's a totally different experience of your child.
Yeah.
So, that's so great. I guess my first point is just to look along. And maybe my second point is maybe looking at, getting to know your child, figuring out who they are. So my second point is get to know your child's temperament. Temperament is the way a person typically experiences and reacts to the world. It's biologically pre-wired and it stays pretty consistent over time. And so every child is born with a temperament. Psychologists typically register temperament on five different continuums. And a really powerful way to be a responsive caregiver is to notice how they notice. So in other words, you're not just looking with them, you're actually noticing how they even look. Okay, does this make sense? So I'll tell you, the practical takeaway, mamas and daddies, Here are the five things you can start noticing. Notice the intensity of your child's reaction. This is temperament trait number one. Whenever they experience something new, are they like easily overwhelmed? Do they get really wild and have to have a body experience? Or are they just very cool and they're just kind of taking it all in? Number two, frustration tolerance. Do they throw something down and have a tantrum? Or do they just kind of plod along, keep at it? Number three, mm-hmm. coping with change. Is this child, do they need kind of a rigorous routine to be happy and healthy? Or are they kind of going with the flow? How mm-hmm. a kid responds to change is biologically a part of their temperament. I mean, some kids cannot or have a very hard time dealing with change. Now, does this mean you have to rearrange your whole life so that you're rigorous? Nope. But it does mean that you can have empathy for their experience, understanding that this kid is just going to have trouble with this. And so rather than barking at them or being judgmental, I can really come alongside them and say, this is the way it is in our family, bud, and I know it's hard for you. What can we mm-hmm. do to make this easier? Okay? So, yeah. How this kid copes with change, noticing how they live, how they experience life. The fourth temperament trait is activity level. This is so obvious, especially to people with babies. Like, you know right away. Some kids are crawling all over the place. They're putting everything in their mouth. They experience their life with all their senses. And some babies are just like, hey, I'm in the swing, guys. Look at me. I'm not trying to go anywhere. You know?
And they're just chill.
So chill. And the fifth temperament trait is typically reactions to new people. I mean, some babies, kids are just slow to warm, and some really aren't. Some really enjoy new people and enjoy the experience of meeting. So those are your five temperament traits.
And so what do you do with those? Like, you consider all five of those as you're looking at your child and trying to kind of figure out how they tick. You think about all five of those?
Right. Yes. Yes. Whenever I'm, well, not anymore. Now I kind of just know it, kind of know.
Now you know what to expect from your kids.
Yeah, I kind of know. For instance, the one that we deal with my daughter is intensity of reaction and her reactions to new people. A part of the Southern culture is that we say hello and goodbye. In fact, that's a really important routine for every child. Hello mm-hmm. and goodbye. In Southern culture, it's particular in that I really expect her to greet her adults, and not just out of routine, but out of respect. And so that mm-hmm. involves kind of a looking at. I mean, most adults down here expect to be looked at in the face and spoken to whenever they first meet a child. And rather than handicap her or make adults think poorly of her, i.e. her teachers, I have to work with her to do this. Okay, I have to work with her. She doesn't have to hug. She doesn't have to speak or have a conversation. But she does have to look an adult in the face and say hello.
Even though she's slow to warm.
Slow to warm. Okay. And so this has been a real challenge for us. But rather than making her feel shame or embarrass her about it, I know that she's slow to warm. So I don't ever just throw her into an adult party situation without saying, okay, we're going to so-and-so's house to visit mama's friend. I know that you're just getting to know her. This is going to be hard. Here's what I expect. Why don't we practice on the way there? Mm-hmm. And so I'm not shaming her. I'm trying to see how she sees the world and play accordingly mm-hmm. without changing my expectations so much.
Yeah. And especially I feel like this could be important if they have a different temperament than their caregiver or their parent. Like, yes. I mean, I assume just from my interactions with you that you are more outgoing mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. and so you probably are quick to warm. Am I right?
Right.
So it could be easy for you to be like, what is wrong with her? Like,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. get out there, get in there. Like, you need to get over this type of thing.
Right.
But you recognize and respect her temperament and you're more like, okay, how can I help her and work with her to develop the skills she's going to need to have while still respecting her temperament?
Right. Yes, exactly. I want to make it clear that temperament differences between parent and child usually feel like what's wrong with her. That's usually the feeling. That's usually the gut reaction. And so I'm just kind of, with my second takeaway, encouraging parents to, whenever they notice themselves having that feeling, what's wrong with her, to actually kind of look at these five axes and to also consider their own temperament and what might be happening here. How might you be able to actually look with your child? How might you be able to look at how they experience the world?
And I love how this connects back to your lookup challenge or the idea of putting down your phone, because if you are so engaged in your own technology or social media, it's very hard to be attuned to what your child's going to need in that situation, or to take the time to teach them and train them and prepare them for a situation, because you're sucked in to your own world and your own device. And so this is so great to point out that once you start putting down your phone and you're more aware of your world and your children's world, you're going to start noticing these little things about your children more, and having the time that maybe was taken by social media before to say, okay, I'm going to take this time to kind of teach them some of these skills and help them through this. Or
Exactly. So if you haven't taken the lookup challenge yet, I really do encourage you to go back and do that, and then make this your second step, because the lookup challenge is going to clear, I guess, the I keep wanting to use the word bandwidth, but you know what I mean? Like, it's going to give you the bandwidth to actually do this, to actually recognize your child's temperament, to actually look with them.
Right. Look at them and think, oh, like getting to know them in a different way, and then look with them for sure. And then what's your third takeaway?
Okay, my third takeaway is tricky, but it is important, and I have included it for a specific reason. The third takeaway is, don't forget to fail, i.e. miss a tune. So since the lookup challenge came out, I've had a lot of great reactions. One of the reactions that I have gotten is, well, what do I do if I have to do laundry? What do I do if I want to read my book? In other words, responsive attunement, responsive parenting means total attunement, perfect attunement. And I just want to say, with this final takeaway, that perfection really is not the goal. You do want to be more attuned than distracted, especially in the early months and years of your kiddo's life. But perfection is not only not the goal, it really is counterproductive. And so there are going to be times when you have to take care of yourself, and that's okay. Or you have to take care of your other family members. That's okay. You don't want this lookup challenge to be a requirement for absolute and perfect attunement.
I love this, that you pointed this out, because I do think someone listening could think, so I just have to be in tune all the time and my whole world has to revolve around them, and I'm not allowed to have any of my own needs or my own passions or things. And what would your response be to that?
I would say that if you want a child that eventually has successful and responsive relationships of their own, and not just with you, you know, to have responsive relationships with others, then you have got to come into the room. You have got to introduce yourself, your needs, to your child. And that means sometimes telling them to wait, telling them, you got to stay with this babysitter because I have to have lunch with a friend. You know, you need to do the things that give you life. And so if you wanted to be super practical about this third takeaway, I would say, sit down right now and make a list of five things that give you life or restore you, and make sure that you're doing those things regularly, daily. Do at least one of them once a day. You know, when everyone is sharing at the dinner table, make sure that you share your own stories. Make sure that you're a part of the family. You have to be a part of that relationship.
Yeah. And I love that idea of introducing yourself to your kids, that you're not just doing these things kind of on the side. you're telling them like this, mom loves to read, or, you know, I love to get together with my sisters and that's why I'm going away on this weekend with my sisters.
Yes.
I'm a person and I have needs and passions, and you're allowed, child, you are allowed to have needs and passions too. And they'll be different from mine, but you'll be your own person and I'll be my own person. And we can just bless and support each other in this family.
Right. So if you look at this as a project, like a narrative or a story arc, what I have done is we've got you attuned where you're looking up. And then you're going to start looking with, you're just going to start noticing what they're noticing. Then you're actually going to start noticing them. You're going to start modeling a recognition of who they are. And then finally, you're going to ask them to do that in return.
Ugh, it's love that.
It's such an important final step. We have to do it, ladies.
That progression is brilliant. Those, how those three takeaways build on each other. You're so wise.
Oh, please. Thank you. It's heartbreaking to me. I know this is a sore subject. This is controversial. It is heartbreaking to me, the obsession over the book, The Giving Tree. because, okay. I mean, this is a tree that gives of herself until she is a sad stump. Okay.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, that's no good for that kid. That kid has got to see, eventually, that kid, you've got to teach them how to see you, or else they're never going to see their spouse. They're never going to see their partner. They're never going to see their employees. These things matter.
Yes, for sure. And you think you can teach your kids, similar things about your temperament. So like if you have a different like ability to cope with activity level, or you know, those things, can you teach them that like, okay, I know that you are a kid that can go, but I am somebody that needs some break and some quiet. And so I'm going to go, we're going to do a quiet time because I need
it,
you know? So you're recognizing you are, how do I want to say this? You are making accommodations for their temperament, and you're also expecting them to make some accommodations for your temperament.
Totally. And Rachel, what I love about what you just said there is that you started with modeling to them. Like you go to the park with them, you play. And now I need some rest. Like this is you and I gave you this. And maybe you do that for, you've been doing that for years, maybe, you know, just meeting their needs and taking them to the park. And then slowly you're saying, remember how I loved you this way? I need you to love me this way. You know, I need love this way. And I'm always going to work at giving you the kind of love that actually meets your needs.
This has been so insightful. As always, I hope we can have you as a regular here on the podcast. And I was wondering if you could tell the listeners about your new courses and what they can look forward to you releasing in the next little while and how they can find more of your work.
All right. So I already have a course out, which is Introduction to Parenting. And it's essentially for new and expecting parents. If you have a child less than 12 months old, this is all about how to make sure your child is happy and whole and healthy, not just physically, but socially, emotionally, intellectually. It just walks you through ages and stages. It walks you through what, like your kids, your infants' needs. And then the next course that I have coming up, and this podcast, really a lot of what I've been talking about here is going to be in that course, is called Your Child's Fundamental Needs. And it's just no culture, no fluff, no opinions, just the science of what your kid actually really needs to thrive and how you can do it. I love it. I'm really, really excited about it because I think it's an answer to a lot of mama stress about, am I actually giving my kid what they need? I'm a little worried that maybe I've missed a mark. You know, it's just
and mom guilt.
Yeah.
I think it's a comfort for a lot of mom guilt about things that they feel like they're not doing. It's like, let's get down to the essentials of what's really going to feed their brains and their hearts and their souls
Totally.
And we can all do that differently. The way that we meet those needs is different exactly. depending on our personality and our kids' exactly. personalities.
Yeah, the way we meet this need might be different, but this need is the same for every child. They have these four fundamental needs, and this is their core.
All right, Dr. Penry, thank you so much for being here and for sharing more of your amazing wisdom with us.
Thank you.
She is brilliant, and she is so passionate about making a difference to the everyday mom. And I really want to encourage those of you out there who are interested to check out her course, which is called The Fundamental Needs of Children. And the subtitle is The Four Things Your Child Really Needs and Nothing More. I just went and looked at it myself, and I could not believe how inexpensive it is when considering her knowledge and the education that she has. It is less than one counseling session would cost and could potentially save you many, many counseling sessions in the future. So if you are interested in learning more from her, please go check that out. It's on afriendlyaffair.com/needs, and it's also linked in my show notes. I'm going to recap the three takeaways for you right here, but there was so much in that interview. You might just want to listen to it again. Also, I will be sending out my monthly recap of all of the takeaways from the episodes this week, and I'll try to put as much detail in that as I can. So if you're not signed up for that, please get signed up for that at 3in30podcast.com, and then you will receive a printable of each month's takeaways. So Dr. Penry taught us first that we need to look along our child's gaze. When we're reading books with them, when we're exploring nature with them, we need to notice what they're noticing. And then second, we need to notice them by looking at their temperament. And she gave those five components of temperament, which are all discussed in depth in her course. And third, we need to ask them to notice us in return. And I love that story arc that she talked about, how it's a process. That once we love and respect and notice them well, it is totally appropriate to ask them to do the same for us, to have our own needs. I truly appreciate the time that Dr. Penry has taken with both episodes on this podcast. I really hope that you'll go back and find the first if you haven't listened to it already. And I hope that you have a fabulous week this week, really noticing and entering into the worlds of your children.